Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we are pulling from a really powerful stack of source material, and it all centers on a frustration I think almost every family feels. Mm-hmm. It's that daily friction, you know? I'm talking about the whole getting things done department in a family, the fight over getting dressed, the homework battles, messy rooms, bedtime.
This just goes on and on.
It does. And if you feel like those little things are creating this constant unnecessary tension, you're definitely not alone. And that tension, well, over time, it can really create some distance in your most important relationships.
Yeah, and that daily tension is so often the result of being caught in a trap. Mm. The sources call it reactive parenting.
Reactive parenting, okay.
Think of it like you're just a crisis manager.
Yeah.
You're only responding to the behaviors you don't like, the whining, the defiance, the procrastination, with one goal. Just make it stop right now.
You're just putting out fires.
You're only putting out today's fires. You're not building anything for tomorrow.
And that's exactly why we need a strategy. So our mission in this deep dive is to move past that reactivity. We're going to analyze a strategic, a heart-based approach that uses firmness, but not as punishment.
Right.
As a foundational character-building tool.
Exactly. The goal here, as the material lays it out, is to give us a compass. We want to help a young person move from point A,
the problem,
the current problem, yeah. The behavior,
yeah.
The point B, the desired character quality, the life skill you want them to have.
Yeah.
And that movement, it requires structure.
Structure.
Yeah. The sources use this great analogy. They say the human heart needs boundaries to develop firm character. Kind of like Jell-O.
Jell-O. Okay.
No one's listening. Well, you know, it needs a pan, right?
Yeah.
It needs to sit in the fridge for a while to actually set.
Right. Otherwise, it's
just a wobbly, disorganized mess.
Yeah.
And without some kind of external structure, that's what can happen.
Okay. Let's unpack that. The blueprint for change. Because honestly, the idea of having a written, actionable strategy, that alone brings so much hope.
It does.
If you can just start seeing your child's development on a map, you know, from point A to point B, you immediately shift your whole mindset. It's about process now. Long-term completion.
That shift is profound. It really is. Mm. It means you're aligning with the idea that change is a journey. The sources actually support this view by, you know, drawing parallels to a commitment to see a good carried on to completion. It's about movement toward a goal.
Not just running in circles, having the same argument every Tuesday.
Exactly.
So if the goal is strategy, then the prep has to be strategic. Why is writing it down so important? Can't parents just, I don't know, talk it over?
That's a crucial question. A mental plan is, well, it's easily swayed by emotion, by being tired.
Mm-hmm.
But a written plan, it forces you to be clear. It exposes all your assumptions, especially between two parents who think they agree, but their styles are totally different.
Oh, that's a huge one.
Yeah. A written plan is objective. You can refine it and you can share it with everyone, your spouse, a grandparent, the babysitter. So everyone is on the same page. The child can't play one person against the other.
Okay, so we have this written blueprint. What are the tools? What do we use to get from point A to point B?
The strategy is built around five core areas. The sources call them five words, or sometimes buckets of solutions.
Buckets, I like that.
Yeah, so these buckets, they're things like firmness, instruction, consequences, relationship, and encouragement. They're tools you pick and choose from, because the plan has to be unique for your unique child.
Right, so it's not a one-size-fits-all formula.
Exactly, not at all. And the very first bucket, the one we have to talk about to get any movement, is firmness.
So firmness is the starting point, but it's not the whole plan. What is its specific job?
Its job is tied directly to point A. The purpose of firmness is to make point A uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable.
Think about it. If a child is comfortable with disrespect or bad attitude or ignoring you, well, that comfort gives them zero motivation to change. Firmness creates the friction they need to start moving toward point B, toward cooperation. Now, this is where we have to get really practical. Because when you say firmness, most parents, they immediately jump to consequences. Grounding, timeouts, taking away the phone.
And the sources are saying that moving to consequences too quickly, it doesn't really change the heart. It just builds resentment. We want strategic discomfort, not emotional distance.
Precisely. We need techniques that interrupt the process of the misbehavior. One of the best strategies is called stopping the process earlier. This is huge for impulsive behaviors, for arguing, for whining. You interrupt the momentum.
Okay, give me an example. The sources talk about a 7-year-old, right? The one who is constantly interrupting because of, say, ADHD, that's point A.
Right, so the strategic plan for that child might have a goal. something like, stop, look, and listen before you engage. So when the child bursts in and immediately starts demanding something while their sibling is talking, the parent doesn't lecture.
No power struggle.
No. They use firmness by just putting up a physical boundary and saying, wrong response, go back out and try again.
Mm-hmm.
See, they stop the impulsive behavior before it can even get going. It forces a reset.
Okay, I get the idea of interrupting the pattern, but stopping the process earlier sounds exhausting and frankly risky. What if the 7-year-old just says no and throws a tantrum right there? Aren't you just escalating the fight you wanted to avoid?
And that gets to the core of it. Consistency is the hardest part. If the child refuses, that refusal, that disobedience, just became the new point A. So the parent has to calmly and firmly transition to the logical consequence that's already in the plan for refusing an instruction. The strategy doesn't promise they'll comply instantly. What it does promise is that you, the parent, won't get dragged into the argument. And the child will be held accountable for the process itself.
Understood. So you're not negotiating with the whining or the interrupting anymore.
Right. A second firmness strategy is even simpler. It's just pointing out the problem to raise their awareness.
Mm.
A lot of kids operate with this kind of low-grade resistance, and they honestly don't connect their own bad attitude to the outcome.
They think the problem is that you asked them to do something, not how they responded.
Exactly. So instead of a big lecture on their character, you just make it visible. You just say, that was kind of disrespectful how you respond to me. That attitude.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we're working on.
You're shining a spotlight on point A so they can't ignore it anymore.
They can't. They realize it's being seen and noted. And the third strategy is maybe the biggest one, creating structure. The analogy here is putting a cast on a broken leg.
Okay.
The cast itself doesn't heal the bone, but it provides that rigid, non-negotiable structure that allows the healing, in our case, character development, to happen.
Hmm.
And that structure is what we find in something called the instruction routine.
The instruction routine. This sounds like where the rubber meets the road. This is where all that structural firmness gets practiced over and over.
Yes. It's very focused training. It's designed specifically to practice those point B qualities. Cooperation, responsiveness, respect, but in a really low stakes environment.
And the practice is, it's high frequency, right?
Mm.
The sources say something like 20 times a day.
Up to 20 times a day, yeah.
Yeah.
And this is critical. It has to be practiced by both mom and dad.
Why both?
Because parents always give instructions differently. Different tones, different phrasing. The child needs to learn to respond well to different kinds of authority, not just one specific style.
Let's be real here. 20 times a day is a massive commitment. For anyone listening, you have to know this is not a passive thing. This takes a ton of parental energy and focus to keep it consistent.
It absolutely does. But you're investing that energy in the process, not just the outcome. For the child, the routine has 4 steps. They're simple, but they're so powerful. First, the child has to come when called. That means they have to stop what they're doing.
Interrupt their own agenda.
Immediately. If it's a teen, they stop the video or put the phone down before you even give the instruction.
So they're already prioritizing the relationship over what they were doing.
Precisely. Second, they have to say, okay, mom, or okay, dad, a verbal acceptance, not a grunt. Third, they go do the task as if on a mission. No foot dragging, no complaining. And fourth, they have to report back when they're done.
And the task can be tiny, like straighten the pillows, wipe the counter, empty the little bathroom trash can. The point isn't really about the chore itself.
Not at all. The focus is 100% on building the healthy process, the healthy response. And that process builds 3 foundational life skills. First, the child learns to give up their agenda for someone else. That's the bedrock of cooperation. Second, they learn to respond well to authority. It cultivates an other-centered approach, not a me-first one.
And that third one, it really highlights the strategic use of discomfort. They learn to feel uncomfortable when given a task.
Yes. That internal resistance we all feel when someone asks us to stop what we're doing to help them. Learning to push past that feeling. The sources say that is the very beginning of true responsibility. You know, this whole idea of intense practice, of being responsive even when the task seems pointless. There's a really beautiful conceptual analogy for this in the material. It draws from the story of the Israelites in the wilderness.
Oh, from the Book of Numbers, with the cloud leading them.
That's the one. God guided them with this cloud over the tabernacle. When the cloud lifted, they packed up and moved. When it settled, they stopped.
And they never knew if it would be for a day or a month or a whole year. They just had to follow instantly.
Yeah. And here's the crucial context. They were wandering for 40 years. They weren't actually going anywhere fast. So why did God demand this constant, high-frequency practice of obedience to an instruction that made no logical sense sometimes?
Because they needed the training.
They needed the training. They initially lacked the faith, the obedience, to go into the promised land. So God's discipline wasn't punishment. It was.
Mm-hmm.
It was relentless training.
It was character training, working on that point B quality of trust and obedience by making them follow instructions even when they didn't get it. They were building those internal muscles.
That connects directly to modern life.
Mm-hmm.
Our kids need that internal exercise now because their future is filled with authority figures, teachers, coaches, bosses, the government. Learning to put your own resistance aside and respond well. That is a critical skill that will just massively help their development.
This idea of focused structural change, it leads to this really powerful conclusion in the sources, the idea that parents are the best therapists for their children if they have a good plan.
It's referring to what you could call character therapy. It's different from, you know, physical therapy or speech therapy, but it's just as vital for their internal healing and growth. The sources suggest that the tools we're talking about, strategic firmness, structure, they are inherently therapeutic. Mm-hmm. By providing those boundaries and that practice, we are bringing real strategic healing change to the heart, helping our kids move past defiance and toward cooperation and maturity.
So this deep dive has really shown us that making the shift from just reacting to having a strategic written plan, it's everything. Firmness isn't about being harsh or angry. It's a core tool you use to strategically make point A, the problem, uncomfortable enough to motivate change.
And those simple structures, especially that instruction routine, that's where we invest our energy. That's where we train those foundational life skills. And when we see that positive change, we have to remember to pause and affirm it. The goal is always the heart, not just the behavior.
Right. And as we said, for some parents, firmness is easy. For others, they'd much rather lead with grace and relationship. But the source material is very clear. All kids need that firmness and structure to build character.
So here's the provocative thought that's drawn from our sources for you to think about this week.
Okay.
Considering the measurable progress gained through consistent structure, how might a parent establish clear metrics or indicators to help determine when their child has built sufficient character muscle, allowing the parent to strategically dial down firmness and rely more heavily on relationship and encouragement?
That is a powerful question about measuring success. Go reflect on your strategy, and we will see you next time on The Deep Dive.